You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This morning it was announced that the government would be giving $20 million to developing nations to help address loss and damage caused by climate change. The funding comes as part of the government's commitment to deal with the impacts of climate change not covered by funding for adaptation measures. This makes New Zealand one of only a few nations to make a loss and damage payment, which have also been described as reparations for the economic damage caused to developing nations by global warming. I spoke to Climate Change Minister James Shaw and started by asking him whether this funding was a concession that New Zealand owes some responsibility to developing countries over how our actions have impacted climate change.
Well, in a sense, yes. You know, the OECD countries, or the developed countries of the world, have done pretty well out of the Industrial Revolution. And, of course, it was the emissions during the Industrial Revolution that led to the level of warming that we currently have, which is already causing these cyclones and droughts and floods and fires around the world. So in that sense, yes. At the same time, you know, the kind of debate about, you know, liability and compensation, things like that, is actually the reason why the talks on loss and damage haven't made any progress over the years. And so what we're saying is, let's not get stuck on the definitional stuff. These countries are feeling these impacts. Let's just get cracking on it.
And while it is a fantastic start, the $20 million is quite insignificant relative to the trillions of dollars in damage that developing nations are purported to have sustained due to climate change. And when you describe this sum as a down payment, what do you mean by this?
Yeah, so, I mean, first of all, it's really important to know that this is not the sum total of the overseas development assistance that we provide to countries on climate change. Last year, just before the last COP in Glasgow, we tripled our ODA to $1.3 billion, which is, you know, pretty substantial in the context of New Zealand. And so this is, you know, when I said it's a down payment, what we're saying is that we know that countries are already feeling these costs, and we have to show good faith that we want an outcome on this component of the debate around climate finance, which is called loss and damage. So that's what I meant by that. And you're absolutely right. The actual costs being faced right now are horrendous. I mean, if you look at what happened in Pakistan not that long ago, where up to a quarter of the country was flooded and tens of thousands of people lost their homes and people died, that is what we're talking about when we are talking about loss and damage. It's not just theory, it's actually happening.
And where will this $20 million come from?
At the moment, what we've done is we've kind of made an allocation, right? So we've said, we're putting $20 million on the table. We haven't said specifically, you know, which countries it's going to or how, because what we're trying to do is to influence other countries to get in behind the loss and damage kaupapa in Egypt. What we tend to do, I mean, we do support big multilateral organisations on climate, like the Green Climate Fund and so on. But we tend to put most of our effort into working directly with Pacific Island countries. They often find it quite cumbersome to deal with the big international institutions, and of course, we've got very close and very direct relationships with the Pacific Island countries. So we will probably replicate that pattern with this allocation as well.
And wealthy nations, including the US and the EU, have blocked the issue of loss and damage in the past. Is there a chance that we could, I guess, maybe be pissing off some of these nations with our willingness to have this discussion around compensation and liability, given the large amount that they would be responsible for? And is this even a concern for you?
Yeah, if it was that much of a concern, you know, we wouldn't have done it. I think if they feel uncomfortable with it, that's because the situation is uncomfortable. I mean, we have to acknowledge that, you know, it is the historical emissions of the wealthier countries that have led to the temperature rises that we've already had. The fact that we've even got loss and damage on the agenda now, you've got to remember, this is the 27th UN conference on climate change. It's the first time we've ever been able to get loss and damage onto the actual agenda, just even to talk about it. The fact that we've, you know, that kind of shows, I think, that there is some movement, and the US or the EU or others could have blocked that from happening as has happened in previous years. So I'm actually holding out some hope that we may be able to start to find some common ground now that it is a feature of the negotiations.
Yeah, and on that note, the summit president of COP27 said that while loss and damage would be added to the agenda, which was a big move, compensation and liability would not be the outcome of this discussion. Is it disappointing that New Zealand is only one of only a few countries that are willing to take action?
Well, yes. I think, though, by the end of the talks, you know, like I said, I'm actually quite hopeful that we should see some movement on that. And I think that it is the kind of definitional arguments that we've been having around, you know, liability, compensation and so on, that has stopped progress from happening. What we're saying is let's not let that definitional argument bog us down. Let's get on with it because countries are feeling these impacts and they do need assistance. So the role that New Zealand is taking is we're not totally agnostic, but you know, we're not kind of firmly entrenched in what we think that the outcome should look like, but we do know that there needs to be one. And the fact that there hasn't been any talks on this in preceding years has been, you know, a real problem. And so, I mean, I know it's frustrating, but I do feel like there is an opportunity for some progress now.
That was Climate Change Minister James Shaw chatting to me about this morning's government announcement of $20 million being offered to developing countries to help address loss and damage caused by climate change. I also spoke to Oxfam's Communications and Advocacy Director Joe Spratt about what they think of this announcement. So the $20 million has been described as largely symbolic, and James Shaw has said it's a modest down payment. I firstly wanted to know your thoughts on whether the sum is enough when you compare it to the monetary value of the damage that developing countries are facing as a result of climate change, which is said to be in the trillions.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think just to rest on the symbolic for a moment, that's really powerful because many governments around the world refuse to acknowledge that loss and damage even needs to be funded. So the fact that the New Zealand government has come out and said that this does need to be funded is a powerful statement. So then if we turn to the amount, two things about that. One is, yeah, it's small. And as you say, billions of dollars are required to repair the damage that can be repaired and to support families to recover from the losses that can't be recovered. And so $20 million doesn't look like very much, but it is a good contribution to start with, and it's better than many other governments, far better than many other governments around the world who are giving nothing. The other thing about that, though, and what we're really disappointed with is that this money is not new. So it's essentially stealing money that we have committed to adaptation and mitigation, which is still really important and necessary to be funded, and repackaging it for loss and damage. What we need is new money for loss and damage, not just taking old funds that are already announced.
And developing countries are calling for a centralised fund to distribute loss and damage funds. Do you think this will be a more effective approach?
I think it's a really important approach, having a centralised fund. And it is what our developing countries and our Pacific countries are asking for. And so Oxfam certainly supports that call. And we would really like to see our government supporting this call at the COP27.
Do you think that Aotearoa has a moral obligation to continuously support our Pacific neighbours and other developing countries, just given how little they contribute to climate change, and also maybe to set a trend that can hopefully be followed by other Western or developed nations?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the communities on the front lines of climate change across the world who are experiencing the biggest and the impacts, and particularly they're poor so they can't necessarily respond to recovering from those impacts, they didn't cause this problem. They haven't been burning fossil fuels for years. So yeah, we certainly do have a moral obligation to provide support and funding. The vast sums of money required are big and daunting, but I think we need to remember that they're actually an investment in our future of humanity, our future of our planet. So we really do need to mobilise this money to invest in the future of not only of our children, but our children's children, so they don't inherit an Earth that's rife with conflict and heat waves and massive storms and almost unlivable. And I think we need to look at new ways of raising this funding. So taxing the fossil fuel industry, for example, taxing banks that invest in taking fossil fuels out of the ground. We can get billions of dollars from these sorts of mechanisms, and I think governments across the world need to start to think about this.
That was Oxfam's Communications and Advocacy Director Joe Spratt chatting to me about this morning's government announcement to give $20 million to developing countries to help address loss and damage caused by climate change.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.